Welcome to the Daily Radio Bible. Today is Tuesday. It's July the 4th, day 185 in our journey through the Bible. And to all my fellow American listeners out there, happy Independence Day. I hope you all have a blessed day celebrating the independence of our country, the freedoms that we have here in the United States of America. And for the rest of my listeners around the world, I hope you have a blessed day too. Hey, today we are in the book of 2 Kings, chapters 15 and 16. Then we go on to Hosea chapter 1 and Hebrews chapter 1. We are reading through the New Living Translation. Let's jump right in. 2 Kings 15. Uzziah rules in Judah. Uzziah, son of Amaziah, began to rule over Judah in the 27th year of the reign of King Jeroboam II of Israel. He was 16 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 52 years. His mother was Jechaliah from Jerusalem. He did what was pleasing in the Lord's sight, just as his father Amaziah had done, but he did not destroy the pagan shrines, and the people still offered sacrifices and burned incense there. The Lord struck the king with leprosy, which lasted until the day he died. He lived in isolation in a separate house. The king's son Jotham was put in charge of the royal palace, and he governed the people in the land. The rest of the events in Uzziah's reign and everything he did are recorded in the book of the history of the kings of Judah. When Uzziah died, he was buried with his ancestors in the city of David, and his son Jotham became the next king. Zechariah, son of Jeroboam II, began to rule over Israel in the 38th year of King Uzziah's reign in Judah. He reigned in Samaria 6 months. Zechariah did what was evil in the Lord's sight, as his ancestors had done. He refused to turn from the sins that Jeroboam, son of Nebat, had led Israel to commit. Then Shallum, son of Jabesh, conspired against Zechariah, assassinated him in public, and became the next king. The rest of the events in Zechariah's reign are recorded in the book of the history of the kings of Israel. So the Lord's message to Jehu came true. Your descendants will be kings of Israel down to the fourth generation. Shallum, son of Jabesh, began to rule over Israel in the 39th year of King Uzziah's reign in Judah. Shallum reigned in Samaria only 1 month. Then Menahem, son of Gadi, went to Samaria from Tirzah and assassinated him, and he became the next king. The rest of the events in Shallum's reign, including his conspiracy, are recorded in the book of the history of the kings of Israel. At that time, Menahem destroyed the town of Tappua and all the surrounding countryside as far as Tirzah because its citizens refused to surrender the town. He killed the entire population and ripped open the pregnant women. Menahem, son of Gadi, began to rule over Israel in the 39th year of King Uzziah's reign in Judah. He reigned in Samaria 10 years, but Menahem did what was evil in the Lord's sight. During his entire reign, he refused to turn from the sins that Jeroboam, son of Nebat, had led Israel to commit. Then King Tiglath-Pileser of Assyria invaded the land, but Menahem paid him 37 tons of silver to gain his support in tightening his grip on royal power. Menahem extorted the money from the rich of Israel, demanding that each of them pay 50 pieces of silver to the king of Assyria. So the king of Assyria turned from attacking Israel and did not stay in the land. The rest of the events in Menahem's reign and everything he did are recorded in the book of the history of the kings of Israel. When Menahem died, his son Pekahiah became the next king. Pekahiah, son of Menahem, began to rule over Israel in the 50th year of King Uzziah's reign in Judah. He reigned in Samaria 2 years. But Pekahiah did what was evil in the Lord's sight. He refused to turn from the sins that Jeroboam, son of Nebat, had led Israel to commit. Then Pekah, son of Ramaliah, the commander of Pekahiah's army, conspired against him with 50 men from Gilead. Pekah assassinated the king along with Argob and Ariel in the citadel of the palace of Samaria, and Pekah reigned in his place. The rest of the events in Pekahiah's reign and everything he did are recorded in the book of the history of the kings of Israel. Pekah, son of Ramaliah, began to rule over Israel in the 52nd year of King Uzziah's reign in Judah. He reigned in Samaria 20 years, but Pekah did what was evil in the Lord's sight. He refused to turn from the sins that Jeroboam, son of Nebat, had led Israel to commit. During Pekah's reign, King Tiglath-Pileser of Assyria attacked Israel again, and he captured the towns of Ajalon, Abel Beth Makkah, Janoa, Kadesh, and Hazor. He also conquered the regions of Gilead, Galilee, and all of Naphtali, and he took the people of Assyria as captives. Then Hoshea, son of Elah, conspired against Pekah and assassinated him. He began to rule over Israel in the 20th year of Jotham, son of Uzziah. The rest of the events in Pekah's reign and everything he did are recorded in the book of the history of the kings of Israel. When Jotham, son of Uzziah, began to rule over Judah in the second year of King Pekah's reign in Israel, he was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 16 years. His mother was Jerusha, the daughter of Zadok. Jotham did what was pleasing in the Lord's sight. He did everything his father Uzziah had done, but he did not destroy the pagan shrines, and the people still offered sacrifices and burnt incense there. He rebuilt the upper gate of the temple of the Lord. The rest of the events in Jotham's reign and everything he did are recorded in the book of the history of the kings of Judah. In those days, the Lord began to send King Rezin of Aram and King Pekah of Israel to attack Judah. When Jotham died, he was buried with his ancestors in the city of David, and his son Ahaz became the next king. 2 Kings chapter 16, Ahaz rules in Judah. Ahaz, son of Jotham, began to rule over Judah in the 17th year of King Pekah's reign in Israel. Ahaz was 20 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 16 years. He did not do what was pleasing in the sight of the Lord his God, as his ancestor David had done. Instead, he followed the example of the kings of Israel, even sacrificing his own son in the fire. In this way, he followed the detestable practices of the pagan nations the Lord had driven from the land ahead of the Israelites. He offered sacrifices and burnt incense at the pagan shrines and on the hills and under every green tree. Then King Rezin of Aram and King Pekah of Israel began to attack Jerusalem. They besieged Ahaz, but could not conquer him. At that time, the king of Edom recovered the towns of Elath from Edom. He drove out the people of Judah and sent Edomites to live there, as they do to this day. King Ahaz sent messengers to King Tiglath-Pileser of Assyria with this message: "I am your servant and your vassal. Come up and rescue me from the attacking armies of Aram and Israel." Then Ahaz took the silver and gold from the temple of the Lord and the palace treasury and sent it as a payment to the Assyrian king. So the king of Assyria attacked the Aramean capital of Damascus and led its population away as captives, settling them in Kir. He also killed King Rezin. King Ahaz then went to Damascus to meet with King Tiglath-Pileser of Assyria. While he was there, he took special note of the altar. Then he sent a model of the altar to Uriah the priest, along with its design in full detail. Uriah followed the king's instructions and built an altar just like it, and it was ready before the king returned from Damascus. When the king returned, he inspected the altar and made offerings on it. He presented a burnt offering and a grain offering. He poured out a liquid offering, and he sprinkled the blood of peace offerings on the altar. Then King Ahaz removed the old bronze altar from its place in front of the Lord's temple, between the entrance and the new altar, and placed it on the north side of the new altar. He told Uriah the priest, "Use the new altar for the morning sacrifice of burnt offering, the evening grain offering, the king's burnt offering, and the grain offering, and the burnt offerings of all the people, as well as their grain offering and liquid offerings. Sprinkle the blood from all the burnt offerings and sacrifices on the new altar. The bronze altar will be for my personal use only." Uriah the priest did just as King Ahaz had commanded him. Then the king removed the side panels and basins from the portable water carts. He also removed the great bronze basin called the sea from the backs of the bronze oxen and placed it on the stone pavement. In deference to the king of Assyria, he also removed the canopy that had been constructed inside the palace for use on the Sabbath day, as well as the king's outer entrance to the temple of the Lord. The rest of the events in Ahaz's reign and everything he did are recorded in the book of the history of the kings of Judah. When Ahaz died, he was buried with his ancestors in the city of David. Then his son Hezekiah became the next king. Hosea chapter 1. The Lord gave this message to Hosea, son of Biri. During the years when Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah were kings of Judah, and Jeroboam, son of Jehoash, was king of Israel. When the Lord first began speaking to Israel through Hosea, he said to him, "Go and marry a prostitute, so that some of her children will be conceived in prostitution." This will illustrate how Israel has acted like a prostitute by turning against the Lord and worshiping other gods. So Hosea married Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, and she became pregnant and gave Hosea a son. And the Lord said, "Name the child Jezreel, for I am about to punish King Jehu's dynasty to avenge the murders he committed at Jezreel. In fact, I will bring an end to Israel's independence. I will break its military power in the Jezreel Valley." Soon Gomer became pregnant again and gave birth to a daughter. And the Lord said to Hosea, "Name your daughter Lo Rahumah, not loved, for I will no longer show love to the people of Israel or forgive them. But I will show love to the people of Judah. I will free them from their enemies, not with weapons and armies or horses and chariots, but by my power as the Lord their God." After Gomer had weaned Lo Ruhamah, she became pregnant again and gave birth to a second son. And the Lord said, "Name him Lo Ami, not my people, for Israel is not my people, and I am not their God. Yet the time will come when Israel's people will be like the sands of the seashore, too many to count. Then at the place where they were told, 'You are not my people,' it will be said, 'You are children of the living God.' Then the people of Judah and Israel will unite together. They will choose one leader for themselves, and they will return from exile together. What a day that will be, the day of Jezreel, when God will again plant his people in his land." Hebrews chapter 1. Long ago, God spoke many times and in many ways to our ancestors through the prophets. And now in these final days, he has spoken to us through his Son. God promised everything to the Son as an inheritance, and through the Son, he created the universe. The Son radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God, and he sustains everything by the mighty power of his command. When he had cleansed us from our sins, he sat down in the place of honor at the right hand of the majestic God in heaven. This shows that the Son is far greater than the angels, just as the name God gave him is greater than their names. For God never said to any angel what he said to Jesus, "You are my Son, today I have become your Father." God also said, "I will be his Father, and he will be my Son." And when he brought his supreme Son into the world, God said, "Let all God's angels worship him." Regarding the angels, he says, "He sends his angels like the winds, his servants like flames of fire." But to the Son, he says, "Your throne, O God, endures forever and ever. You rule with the scepter of justice. You love justice and hate evil. Therefore, O God, your God will anoint you, pouring out the oil of joy on you more than anyone else." He also says to the Son, "In the beginning, Lord, you laid the foundations of the earth and made the heavens with your hands. They will perish, but you remain forever. They will wear out like old clothing. You will fold them up like a cloak and discard them like old clothing. But you are always the same. You will live forever." And God never said to any of the angels, "Sit at the place of honor at my right hand until I humble your enemies, making them a footstool under your feet." Therefore, angels are only servants, spirits sent to care for people who will inherit salvation. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Amen. God's final word does not come to us through the prophets. Verse 1 in Hebrews says, "Long ago God spoke many times and in many ways to our ancestors through the prophets. No matter the ways and no matter the times, the people of Israel still continued to be unfaithful to God, behaving like a prostitute to her husband. We see this in the strange and tragic story of Hosea and Gomer. And because of their continued rebellion, their insistence on behaving like a prostitute to God, the words of judgment were spoken over her. Lo ruhamah, not loved. Lo ami, not my people. It's hard to imagine any words more tragic than these. Not loved, not my people. But God's story doesn't end with these tragic words through prophets. No, God's final word is spoken through his Son. Hebrews 11 verse 2 says that in these final days, he has spoken to us through his Son, and the Son has made a way to reconcile us to God through his death and his life. And he has pronounced a different word over us, and it's not judgment. It's not lo ami, lo ruhamah. No, the words he speaks over us are life, words of forgiveness, words of peace. No longer are the words lo ruhamah for you, lo ami for me. No. Now, the words that are spoken over us through Christ are my people, loved. And I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful that God has made a way, not through the prophets, but through the Son, to make me right again, to begin to heal me and make me new. And that's what he's doing over and over again throughout this world. New words are being spoken over broken lives every day. When the gospel's heard and responded to by faith, words of love, words of belonging, they're taking root in people's hearts, and it's changing everything. And the prayer of my own heart today is that I will hold to the truth of the words that have been spoken over me. Not words of judgment, but words of life, forgiveness, healing, hope, grace. And that's a prayer that I have for my family too. I want those words to take root in my wife's life and in my daughter's lives and my son's life. And I want these new words to be taking root in your life too. May it be so. Well, dailyradiobible.com, that's our home base out here in interwebs. And it is always such a great thing to hear from you. It really is. Find out a little bit about you, who you are, where you're from, how you stumbled upon this podcast. Next time you got a moment, take it and let a brother know. Speaking of that, I want to send a shout out to Officer Lauer. He is a police officer who listens to the podcast. And I'm so grateful to be on this journey with you, my friend. You continue to seek God with all your heart, and I know that the words that he speaks over you will be life and hope and strength. Take care, my friend. Thanks so much for writing in. Hey, if you would like to be a part of this ministry by adding your voice to the day's podcast, I would very much like to do that, and we can arrange that very simply. All you have to do is send me an email, and I'll give you details, and we'll add your voice to the podcast. Hey, one way to stay in the know with this podcast is to sign up for our newsletter, our email newsletter. You can do that right from the app itself. We've got a newsletter that's cooking. It's in the oven right now, and it will soon be in your inbox in no time. And in there, you're going to have lots of opportunities to find out how to pray for us and also hear about events and happenings that are coming your way. A big one in particular would be our upcoming trip to the Holy Land in April 2018. I've updated our webpage, and so now you can begin that process of registration for our upcoming trip by going to dailyradiobible.com and clicking on the link for the Holy Land 2018 trip. A number of you have expressed a desire to go, and this would be your first step, would be to go and begin that registration process on our webpage. Hey, if you would like to partner with the Daily Radio Bible, that is so appreciated and so needed. This ministry does not exist without partners, without people like you who come alongside and say, I'm in on this. And if that's you, you can give right from the app itself. All you have to do is click on the donate link there, or you could go to dailyradiobible.com and click on the donate or partner link there as well. Or if you're old school and you want to mail your gift in, you can mail it to 7216 Rolling Oaks Court, Cincinnati, Ohio 45239. Hey, we have done it again. We have spent another day in the Bible. And I plan on being back here again tomorrow to do the same thing. Lord willing, and the creek don't rise, I fully intend to be here. Until that time, let's go forward in God's joy. Let's let His joy be our strength. And let's remember this, that you are loved. No doubt about it. God's final word. How about that? All right, I'll talk to you again tomorrow. You take care. Bye-bye.